talk about hindrances to prayer, and thus the handout that you have before you. A little symbol in the center is supposed to be roadblocks, if you want to think of it as roadblocks to prayer. Before I begin, and this is going to be ever so quick and brief, so forgive me if I talk fast, we're on limited time, but I do want to mention, as we think about our upcoming Vacation Bible School, we are enlisting prayer partners. I am leading out in that, and we will be here each night at VBS praying for an hour. And so if the Holy Spirit lays on your heart that's something that he would like you to do, then please see me or Melissa, and we would love to have you join in that. And we certainly believe that that will make a big difference in what goes on and the efforts that are being put forth. All right, I want to begin here by talking about wrong motives. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Wrong motives, asking amiss. A selfish purpose in prayer robs prayer of its power. A lot of our prayers are selfish. They may be prayers for things with it, which it is perfectly proper to ask, and it may be within the will of God to give. But the motive of it is entirely wrong, and so the prayer falls powerless to the ground. The true purpose in prayer is that God may be glorified in the answer. And if we ask any petition merely that we may receive something to use to our pleasures, our own gratification, one way or another, we may ask amiss and need not expect to receive what we ask for. And this explains why many prayers remain unanswered. Sin in the way. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, and nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Now, this is something that we have talked about here in weeks past. Sin is an awful thing, and one of the most awful things about it is the way that it hinders prayer, the way it severs the connection between us and the source of all grace and power and blessing. And anyone who would have power in prayer must be merciless in dealing with their own sins. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the psalmist said, Psalm 66:18, the Lord will not hear me. So long as we hold on to our sin or have any controversy with God, we cannot expect him to heed our prayers. If there's anything that's constantly coming up in your moments of close communion with God, that is the thing that hinders prayer, and you need to put it away. Idols of the heart, Ezekiel 14:3, son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? You probably noticed by now that any of these items could be an hour study in and of themselves. So before I forget, let me encourage you to, you know, take this with you and reflect on it. And to think about the things that are here, because this is from a lot of different sources, and any of these things can be a hindrance to our prayer. An idol is anything that takes the place of God, anything that is a supreme object of our affection. God alone has the right to the supreme place in our hearts, and anything and everyone else must be subordinate to him. So our first great question to decide if we would have power in prayer is, God absolutely first? Is he before wife, children, reputation, business, before our own lives? If not, prevailing prayer is impossible. Indifference to need. Whoso shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered, Proverbs 21:13. That's a hindrance we don't often think about, is stinginess, the lack of liberality toward the poor and toward God's work. It is the one who gives generously, who receives generously from God. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom, for with what measure you meet, it will be measured to you again, Luke 6:38. The generous person is the mighty person of prayer, and the stingy person is a powerless person of prayer. In John, 1 John 3:22, we read, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That is made in direct connection with generosity toward the needy. In the context, we're told that it is when we love, not in word or tongue, but in deed or truth. When we open our hearts toward the brother in need, it is then and only then that we have confidence toward God in prayer. Another hindrance is found in Mark 11:25, lack of forgiveness. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. An unforgiving spirit is one of the most common hindrances to prayer. Prayer is answered on the basis that our sins are forgiven, and God cannot deal with us on the basis of forgiveness while we are harboring ill will against those who have wronged us. Anyone nursing a grudge against any other has possibly fast closed the ear of God against their own petition. Doubt. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Prayer is absolutely hindered by unbelief. God demands that we believe his word absolutely, and to question it is to make him a liar, the scripture says. We do this when we plead his promises, and we don't believe him. Is it any wonder our prayers aren't answered? I wonder how many prayers are hindered by our unbelief. We go to God and ask him for something that he positively promises, and then don't do more than half expect to get it. I'll let that person think not that they will receive anything from the Lord. Broken relationships. This was mentioned tonight. Therefore, if you are offering your gift on the altar, and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. If we have not tried to be reconciled to an offended brother or sister in the body of Christ, we are responsible to make it right. Otherwise, God will not accept our offering. Any close relationship can bring great power in prayer, but if fractured, can potentially hinder the potentially powerful relationship with the Lord. And I would add to that also 1 Peter 3:7. You husbands in like manner dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, as also being joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. Here we're told plainly that a wrong relationship between husband and wife is a hindrance to prayer. There are other things in the relations between husbands and wives which we may not be able to speak of publicly, but which doubtless are a hindrance in approaching God in prayer. There is much sin covered up under the holy name of marriage that is a cause of spiritual deadness and powerlessness in prayer. So if a person whose prayers seem to bring no answer, and you're married, you should spread your whole married life out before the Lord and ask him to put his finger on anything that is displeasing in his sight. Anger. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. The anger of God is not like that of humanity. God's anger is a holy, unchanging part of his nature. He's eternally angry at sin, unrighteousness, and injustice. He's never vindictive, he never gets mad, and he never loses control of himself. Even in his anger, God is holy. Unlike that, our wrath is often unholy. It's sudden and vindictive, and when we become angry, we may lose control of ourselves or hold grudges for a long time. Our anger may be very unlike that of the Lord, and it can hinder our prayers. And then, hypocrisy. We're told in Matthew 6:5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the streets, street corners, to be seen of others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Praying to be seen by people rather than God is especially offensive to him. And Jesus says this to us specifically here in this verse. The problem is exactly what Jesus said it was, wanting the approval of people rather than God, speaking to people rather than to God. And that's not to say there's anything wrong with praying publicly, but again, it comes back to motive. Why are we praying? Are we praying for the sake of people, or are we praying to our Heavenly Father? So that, in a nutshell, there may be others. I wasn't able to think of some. You may be able to. But those are some hindrances to prayer. Let me again encourage you to take this list and pray through it and see if there might be anything that that could possibly be hindering prayers.
He did that whole thing faster than I ever could have. So, that's that's a good sermon series working right there. So. Anyway, I hope you do take this home. And as we talked about when we were talking about repentance, the Lord shows you these things. And that, I like how you said it, even with the marriage, you lay that out before the Lord. That's that you lay it out before the Lord. Let him show you. He'll show you if you really want to know. And then you give it to him and you move on. And I'm just praying for, I'm hoping that, that in our individual lives and as a church, we're going to have some breakthrough when it comes to prayer. It's not just something we come and do. We're going to start seeing things. And I think God is already doing that. I'm really grateful for what he's doing. So next week, just to let you know what's happening next week, we'll be dealing with Thanksgiving next week. What it means to thank God for all that we have. And so it's a very important part of our prayer. Okay? So let me just say, what I tell you every week, this is not just a little blip on the screen. This perseverance, striving in prayer. It's not always comfortable. It's not always easy. But what we begin here on Wednesday night, let it carry on through the rest of the week. Let your focus be this matter of spiritual warfare for the rest of the week till we come back together again, along with the other areas of prayer that we dealt with. And I think we're going to see, I believe we're going to see God do some things that we never thought were going to happen before. This is a great thing that's happening. So let's pray and we will be dismissed. Father, thank you for tonight, for those who are here again once, again to seek your face. And Father, for me at least, the time we spend each week seems shorter and shorter in prayer as we get more, I don't know, used to talking to you and spending time with you and praying. So I'm grateful for that, and I pray that, that in our personal lives that we'll be able to expand even more so that we might know your heart. Thank you for the insight that you've given us tonight when it comes to spiritual warfare. Thank you for the insight when it comes to the hindrances of our prayers. And Lord, help us to seek you so that the plate may be clean and our hearts might be right and we'll be ready to speak, and even more important than that, we'll be ready to listen as you reveal your glory in our life. Thank you for what you have for us in the days ahead. Thank you for allowing us to be your church and your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.